My name is Andrew File, and I am the missions director here at The Well. I came on staff about a year ago. I had been at The Well since 2002 and went through residency program and just kind of said, man, I like this church. And Brad ended up calling me and giving me a job. So I've been there for about a year now, and it's awesome. It's been awesome to be here. Married to Denise, my bride of 2 years. It's her birthday on Tuesday, so if you see her, tell her happy birthday. And a member of the Well Southeast, so, you know, all you Southeast folks, you know, they're awesome. They're doing service right now, actually, so represent for them. But, yeah, it's been awesome to be here, and Brad asked me to come today to kind of just share, why do we do that? So why did we cancel service? Why would a church not do service here and do it somewhere else? Like Brad said, we did 3 different locations this last year. The year before was our first year doing Serve Day. We did 1 location. Everybody went down to the Susan B. neighborhood, which if you haven't been down there, is Blackstone and Olive. About half of you guys were there and another half weren't. So we had over 1,000 people there this year. Let me go back. In the previous years, we had 500 people, 18 projects, 1 location. This last year, 3 different locations. So the Fig campus did things around in their neighborhood. The Southeast campus did stuff at Easterby Elementary and in Sunnyside High School. And us down at North, we went down to Susan B. And so we probably had at least 1,000 people from The Well there, over 500 people from the community, $9,000 worth of donated goods, 3,500 hours of volunteer hours. So huge success, awesome win. And like Brad says, it's going to get bigger and bigger. So I don't know if we're ready for that, but you know, we'll see if we can handle something bigger. A couple thanks I want to give just, you know, now that we're here is Andrew Young, Chris Schultz, Carol Young, Jesse Wilson, Vicky Vernon, and Artie Padilla. And one of my favorite people all day was that the girl doing the cotton candy. She literally had cotton candy in her eyebrows. I was like, you're a champ. She's going all day. So just give them a round of applause. It really wouldn't have been possible without them and all the leaders that helped out. You guys are huge and, you know, really a blessing to that community, all the communities we served in. So my goal today is just to say, why did we do that? Why do we as a church value mission so highly? And to challenge you to take your faith to the street. So my big challenge is going to be, hey, let's live out our faith in the circles that we live, work, and play. That we interact with people in various, you know, spheres of our life and to say, man, let's live our faith in those spheres. You know, Serve Day was a one day thing. We're going to do it every year, but let's do it every day. So if you could open your Bibles to John 4. Any of you guys that have been in The Well for any time, you go, John 4, that sounds really familiar. And, you know, you're already laughing, you get it. It's the woman at the well. For us as a church, that's been the pivotal text to say, who do we want to be as the church? We want to be a church that offers the grace and truth of Christ unashamedly, that we're going to come at people and we're going to say, hey, we love you. Here's what we see in your life, but go, come as you are. You don't need to come to our church feeling like you got it all together. You know, you're looking clean, you're dressed nice, and, you know, inside, outside, you got it all together. That's not what it's about. It's about having any and everybody come. And then at the same time saying, you know, we're going to speak the truth. You're going to hear the word. And so for us as a church, that's been a key text. But for even myself and the whole staff, it's, and that guides our theology missionally, that the way Jesus handled the woman at the well, how he approached her, what he said, those things guide us and as we do mission. And so I want to reflect on that and then challenge you guys to live your faith, just like Jesus engaged the woman at the well, to live it in that manner. So we're going to go ahead and look at the text, John 4. I'm pulling a lot of my info from John Perkins. He's a community development guy, and he has a book called With Justice for All. It's a great read if you have time to read it. If you don't know the story of the woman at the well, what happens is Jesus is going from Judea to Galilee. Quickest way to get there, go right through Samaria. That's the quickest way to get there, and that's what a lot of people did. Samaritans, who are they? They were a group of Jews that during one of the captivities, they intermarried with another group of people. And so full-blood, you know, full-breed Jews said, man, they're second-class citizens. They, you know, are not really committed to the faith. They've kind of given up. They worshiped in a different temple. So there's all these things that they, in their eyes, the Samaritans weren't. They were a second-class citizen, a lot of racial bias, a lot of prejudice against Samaritans. And so Jews see him in that manner. And so Jesus is going into this village in Samaria. He's going in there. It's hot. It's noon. He's going to a well to get some water. So he's there. There's a woman there. Women didn't typically go to the well in the afternoon. It was a morning activity before it got really hot. So it's kind of weird that she's there. And Jesus is engaging her in a conversation. He's talking to her, which he shouldn't have been. And so it's kind of a weird circumstance. He starts talking about living water, and you're really confused. And then as they go through the conversation, she realizes it. It clicks in her mind. She goes, "That's the Messiah. That's who we've all been looking for. The Samaritans were looking for him too." And it clicks in her mind, so she pauses, and Jesus calls out her past. He says, "I know you've been doing this. I know you've done that. You've had 5 different husbands. The guy you're sleeping with now isn't your husband." Calls her to those things, but he does it in a way that's loving and graceful. And at the end of the day, she comes to put her faith in him. She goes back to her village and says, "Hey, you got to hear this guy. This guy knows everything I've done. Come here." And some of those villagers placed their faith in Christ. And that's a story that has shaded everything we do as a church, that we say, we want to be that place. That's what the well is about. Missionally, though, I think there's a couple things I want to pull out there, like I said. So go ahead and look at your Bibles in verse 7 through 9. We're going to look at the where, the what, and the how of Jesus' ministry. So in verse 7 through 9, we see the where. "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?' For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans." So what we see there from the woman at the well is saying, "What are you doing here? Why are you here? Why are you engaging me?" And that's one of the first answers that we get to how we should do missions, is that we need to come alongside people. We need to go to where they are at and do missions alongside of them. As a church, we're not going to say, "Hey, if you guys want to know Jesus, come here. Just come here. That's how we do Jesus. You got to come here and we'll tell you." No, we're going to go into the streets. And so as a church, we're going to go, "Hey, we're going to cancel service, because what happens down in Fig, Easterby, Susan B, that is as important as what happens right now." And that's a firm commitment that we hold as a church, that we believe those things. And so you see Jesus as the where, is that he's going to engage people where they're at. He's going to come alongside where they're at. Just to pull back a little bit, if you don't know about Target Neighborhood, you heard that name thrown around. What happened was 6.5 years ago, the well said, "Man, we need to engage some communities. We need to engage schools that are low performing, that are almost neglected in the way that they're treated by the parents or by the schools or by the city. We're going to engage those neighborhoods." So we chose Susan B., which is Blackstone and Olive. And we said, "Hey, we're going to intentionally engage this school." And so that started with a Saturday sports program, just, a couple hours on Saturdays, classroom volunteers, mentors, and it has blossomed to so much more. We launched a nonprofit that helps other churches do this. The Southeast community is now connecting with Easterby Elementary, and the Fig campus is starting to connect with Wawona and Powers Ginsburg and some other schools in their neighborhood. As well as in Susan B., we're starting to see new growth. We're starting to see new things happen where we have a summer reading program. So kids, they're off summer. They can get their AR goals met through our summer reading program. They're working with the teachers and the principals. We do a Christmas adoption program that, families can get adopted for Christmas and they can have a Christmas. We're actually having people from the well begin to move into that neighborhood. And for us, that relocation piece of taking Jesus' example of he came from heaven to earth to do ministry with us and alongside of us. That way we can go, "Oh, that's how you do it. That's how I live this faith. That's how I answer those questions." And that's the example we see at the woman on the well. And so we as the church are saying, "Man, we're going to cancel service and do that. We're going to have people from the well say, 'I want to make Susan B. my home.'" And that's not for everybody. I'm not saying that is, but that's an option. And that's something that you guys, you go, "Okay, I'm in different spheres of life. I have a house or I'm in an apartment." God's placed you in those spheres. So where you live, work, and play, God's placed you there. And so Jesus' example is, man, as you're there, do ministry. And so as you're at your house, as you're at your school, do ministry. That's the first thing we see from the woman at the well, is the where. Is you're just doing it alongside people. Second thing, turn to verse 42. Verse 42 in chapter 4. So this is the what of how did Jesus do his ministry with this woman? It was about reconciliation. That's the key there. Verse 42, it said, they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. So she's going, she comes back and says, hey, this guy's the Messiah. That he is. And they come, they hear just her testimony, and then Jesus talks to them, and they say, verse 42, yeah, he is the Messiah. We believe in him. Jesus' key to his ministry was reconciliation. He wanted people to come to know him. So it was a God and man thing and among men. So the first thing we see there is that reconciliation piece. That's what Jesus was about. We are unashamedly at the well going to talk about Jesus. So we had people that were greeters and just saying, at serve day, saying, hey, you know, how are you doing? What's your story? Do you go to church? You know about Jesus? As we do our missions, different ministries, whether it's global or local, we're talking about Jesus. As you guys, as the church, go out, talk about Jesus, because that's who we are. That's what Jesus was about, was talking about the word, talking about who he is, and bringing that reconciliation so people can come to know who Jesus is. The second part of that, so it's a God and man kind of thing, and then it's also with among people. So that we had this idea that people are reconciled to each other. And in Samaria, like I was saying, there's huge racial tensions, racial divides. You did not talk to Samaritans if you were a Jew. They were, lower class citizens, so you didn't have them serve you water. You didn't engage in a conversation. You just avoided it. And you see Jesus immediately breaking down that barrier and saying, there's not going to be those walls in my kingdom. And so we go down to, Susan B., Easter B., and your communities, and you say, there's not going to be any racial divides. We as a church will love our brothers and sisters. If you were down at Susan B. or any of the neighborhoods, you notice you kind of felt a little different. You had different languages being spoke, different skin colors, and that's beautiful, and that's wonderful. And that's exactly what we see. As Jesus does his ministry, it's about reconciliation, that people know him and they know each other, and there's no walls, there's no divides. You're going to hear from my brother in a little bit. He runs a thrift store, a neighborhood thrift that the well started. And he called me the other day and said, hey, there's a really cool story. There was a 60-year-old couple. They were there volunteering at the thrift store, just, there to sort clothes and just hang out. And they're doing that. And in walks Ampelia. Ampelia is a Hispanic mom who her kids go to Susan B. Doesn't speak a lick of English. She's in there serving right alongside this couple. And then in walks an African-American man, and he's in there serving. That's the beauty of the kingdom, and that's what we as a church need to engage. Whether it's in our communities, or as in our target neighborhoods, or whether it's in your community, that's the idea and that's the philosophy. We can't, as a church, have those racial divides and those racial boundaries. So we covered the what, or the where. Jesus did it among. And then how did he do it? It was all about reconciliation. And look back to verse 7. There's something interesting there that we read over it already, but it's the how of Jesus' ministry. How did he approach this woman, and how did he engage with her? How did he approach her? How did he engage her? So verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. The first thing that Jesus does with her is he identifies his need. A lot of times when we do missions, or when we do, when we're trying to do charity or different things like that, really quickly it becomes I'm the giver, you're the receiver. So I'm up here, and I have everything, or I have this, or I have that, and you have that. You don't have anything, so you need to receive from me. And as a church, that is not how we see Jesus handling the story. He says, you know what? I have a need. You have a need. Let's meet this together. And so as we engage people, we want to say, you know what? We don't have it all. We don't know everything. We don't have all the skills. Just because we may have money, or we may have this, or we may have that, that doesn't mean we got it. That doesn't mean we got it all. And so as the language that we use for our target neighborhoods is we partner. So we partner. We come alongside Susan B. And so for Serve Day, we say, hey, what would you like us to do? How could we help? Is it, we did a lot of beautification stuff. Is it this or is it that? We ask the city. We say, hey, Fresno City, could we clean up your streets? And they say, yeah, we'll bring out our trucks. We'll collect all the garbage. And so that's a partnership that we come alongside. We offer what we have. They offer what they have. And it's a wonderful thing of what happens. What that does is it creates dignity. And so as we do ministry, as we do missions, we don't want to create these people that are just handouts, that have no dignity, have no self-worth. We want to esteem them and to lift them up. That's why we created a thrift store instead of a clothes closet. Because you walk in, you pay a dollar for a Tommy Hilfiger shirt, and you feel really good about it. And that happens. There's like seven jeans. There's all. I mean, you can get some deals if you go into the thrift store. But that happens because you have an ownership. As you get something, you're like, well, I deserve that. I paid for that. And that's what we want to, you know, put forth as we do missions. That we have the how is that we do it with a servanthood and a humility that we see in Jesus. The final thing we see in that how manner is that he gave of himself. So as Jesus did ministry. He did it in a way that he just gave. He gave of who he was. He gave of his time and his energies. As we serve, it could be very simple. Obviously, there's people that are moving down to the neighborhoods. That is not everybody's call. Your call could just be to give a couple bucks, whether it's to, nonprofits or whether it's to missionaries or whatever it is. That could be your call. Your call could be to give a bag of clothes. Go down to the thrift store, drop off some clothes. Your call could be something bigger. It could be an hour of your week or 2 hours of your week or 3 hours of your week. A lot of these kids, they just need somebody to talk to. They just want somebody that cares of who they are as a person that goes, yeah, Andrew's going to be there, or, oh, yeah, Jesse's going to be there, and he's going to be there by my side. That's all they want. And so you can offer that time. If you're at Serve Day, one of the biggest things I was most excited about was the bike races and then the bike repair. There was a team, a vapor racing team. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. And then some members of the Well, they just brought out some tents. They brought up their little stands and all their tools and all their wrenches. And they were out there fixing bikes for these kids because these bikes are their way of life. That's like freedom. That's their identity. And they don't know how to fix a flat tire. Nobody's ever taught them. Nobody's ever, showed them how to do those things. We literally had kids coming up and they had duct tape wrapped around their tubes. Because they don't know how to fix a tire, so duct tape fixes everything, right? So they're just spooling the duct tape around a tire, and that's how they fix their tubes. And so we had guys from the Well that were out there just saying, hey, here's how to fix a brake, or you can, lube your chain like this. And they're helping these kids just get around. And that's a skill that those people gave. So we had this idea that we give, it's got to be financial, right? It's like, no, you can use your skills. So if you're an accountant, man, can you teach somebody how to balance a budget? Because they don't know how. Could you teach them how to do that thing, to create a budget? If you're a doctor or a nurse, if you're any skill, we can use you and God can use you in both our neighborhoods and both your neighborhood where you live, work, and play. God can use you in those things. So, to help you understand that, you're just redistributing yourself. You put yourself out there on the table and go, God, use me right now. It could be something really small. It could be something really big. Could be something really small. As you engage those communities, something I'd challenge you with is this week, go home. Think about your circles that you live, work, and play. With how Jesus engaged the woman at the well, he comes to her in a manner that's servanthood and humility. He engages her where she's at, and he does it in a way that affirms her dignity. How could you do those concepts in the places you live, work, and play? So if it's where you live, man, could you have somebody over for dinner? Could you drop off some cookies? Could you bring out somebody's trash or take in their newspaper? Could you watch their dogs while they're out of town? That's a simple, easy way of being Jesus in your neighborhood. And challenge you to think, what is that? Where I live, how can I be Jesus? How can I approach my neighbors in that way? Where I work, maybe it's taking somebody out to lunch, buying them a coffee, writing them a simple card that says, man, you work hard, and I see you working hard, and I appreciate that, and our company appreciates that. Where you play, that's the people you interact with, when your kids are out doing t-ball. Be the, host the after t-ball party, or, volunteer in your kid's classroom. That's being Jesus in your neighborhood. So you have the extremes of moving into neighborhood, but it's simple things, easy things that we as a church can do. And that call that, and finally, the call is to everybody. As a church, we are all called to be missional. That is not that guy's missional, and then I do this. It's like, no, Jesus said throughout the text, like Brad quoted Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's a general call. That's all of our calls right now. Who are we doing that to? We're doing that to, orphans and widows, the people that are vulnerable. And we're doing that, and you see that in the Great Commission. You see that throughout the Bible. That is all of our call. That is all of our call. And I hope you guys feel that as the church, that we are unashamedly going to be a church that is about mission. We are unashamedly going to continue to do things that push us, to make us feel uncomfortable, to get out of our comfort zone, and to do things for others. That's just who we are. Brad uses that analogy of like the doughboy, and you get that pool and you get that thing, that current going, and you just, you know, can coast in it. If you're going against that, if you're not in mission, you're going to feel that. And mission is simple. It's just living out your faith in the everyday life, in those circles that you live, work, and play. So that's really my heart for you guys, is that you just see that and that we as a church can go, you know, whatever circles I live, whatever circles I work, whatever circles I play, that's my call. And, you know, I'm going to figure that out. It's, you know, I'm not going to all of a sudden be the savior of the world overnight. And that's not maybe your call anyway. So, you know, you're just going to figure out what it is for you, and begin to take those next steps. So let's go ahead and pray. And then I'll invite Jared up here. Dear Lord, we thank you for how good you are and how great you take care of us. And as we just reflect on Serve Day, what wonderful things you did, we just pray that us as a church and us as individuals, that we can engage with those around us, that those in our city and our nation and our world, that we can be tools for your work and your kingdom. So just help us to just think this week of, and how can we be intentional to engage our communities? As you engaged the woman at the well, as you came with a heart that was full of servant attitude and humility, as you met her where she was at, and as you affirmed her and gave of your resources, may we do that to those in our communities, Lord. We just thank you for today, and what a great place we're here. Amen.
Thanks, Andrew. You know, as we shift gears here a little bit, we're going to do something that's not normal for us. We're going to have a little bit of a panel come up. But before I invite those guys up, I want you to know, if you call the well home and you consider yourself family and the well is your church, we know and believe it's God's church and Jesus is senior pastor, and we just get to fall in line with what he's doing. There's a statement. It's really our mission statement that you should know. It's that we exist. When somebody asks you, what's the well about? We exist to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. That's what we do. You know, and when people ask you, it's like, it's about the teaching. They open the book and they teach this way, or it's about worship when you really connect, or they're great at connecting people, or they're great at small groups. Well, mission is one of those things too. We help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. I'm going to invite up three very interesting and profound fellows. Just two. Garth had to take off. Well, welcome the world-famous AP and Brian File to the stage here. These guys work at the thrift store. The thrift store is something we started, and we invited them here today to share their experience of Serve Day and the future for the thrift store. So I'd love for you guys just to start out, introduce yourself, tell you a little bit how you came to the well, and your history there.
My name's Brian File. I was invited to the well by my brother, Andrew, who just finished speaking. He just plugged me in and said, man, this is a place where you can serve and I think feel connected, and that proved to be true. I've been here since, I guess my junior year in college was about 4 years ago, so ever since, been staying connected, and this thrift store kind of, I guess, started and just plugged me right in. I started volunteering and I'm still here today.
My name is AP. I've been here since about the summer 2003, on and off. Basically, I came down here to wash cars. I was living in Canada, and Fresno seemed like a pretty sunny place, so I came here, and I kind of just stayed, and I'm still here, obviously.
There you go. Well, you know, the thrift store, the current location, is at it's in the Tower District. Those streets are?
Fulton.
Yeah.
It's on the corner of Washon and Olive, basically just south of that.
Yeah, so. And we've just recently acquired a new place. Brian, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we've, for the last 6 months or so, the donations have just been spilling out of the back room. Just not enough place to work with it and get it out on the floor. So we've been stashing it away in people's garages all over the Tower District. So we had about three locations that we would routinely go and collect items at. And AP and I were riding bikes around there, and we're just like, man, this is the one. And I think it's about 10 times the size, so a few people laughed at us and said, what, are you going to put a bowling alley in there? And we're like, that may not be a bad idea. So so recently we acquired the keys on Friday and then had Serve Day on Sunday. So God just had totally worked that that avenue out for us, and we're looking forward to growing that. It's Palm and Olive are the main two cross streets for that.
Yeah, I think it used to be a tool store there, but it's interesting. Tim Getz, our executive pastor, he's kind of the guy he's special operations, as we call him behind the scenes. He's the guy that if we have dreams, we go, man, what about this dream? He'll go, I'll do it. And 2 days later, he'll wrap it up in a nice bow and go, here you go. He's just wicked gifted. He's smart. He knows business. He understands formulas and money and real estate and all those kind of things, and he does it all for the Lord. So he got wind of this facility, which is how many thousand square feet? 21,000 square feet?
21,000.
Yeah. That's pretty. I calculated. I was like, that's 13 of my houses that can fit in that thing. That's awesome. So we found this place. He started working, and we got a great deal on it, great rent for 3 months, great rent for 2 more years. And it's just a place that's really going to be impactful. And he started doing some research, and Tim said to me, he sat down, he's like, you know, this is going to be one of the valley's biggest thrift stores. Not one in Fresno, you know, not one in the county, the valley's biggest thrift stores. And in that, he goes, stores on average, their size, their revenue a month is about 100 grand. And I started thinking, well, that thing costs about $2 or $3 to operate. 100 grand a month, then you're telling me in a year you're going to have $1 million+ to invest in the kingdom. He says, that's what I'm telling you. So we as a church could come behind this thing and have $1 million+ generated in that community and for that community. That's kingdom work. That's not second homes and golf trips and cars and things that are shiny. That's stuff going back in there to help economies grow, to help schools, to help, you know, the medical community there. I think that's fascinating. You know, and we got in there last, you know, it was one of those witching hour deals. It's like, hey, deal finished, here's the keys. And Sunday, it's like, all right, 100 people get in there. Tell me about the serve day experience in the new thrift store.
Well, the serve day experience, I think, was really just a pure example of, like, how we run. There's only 3 of us that run the store, and because we're obligated to be there, we kind of try to be there. But We wouldn't be able to function and operate without volunteers. And for us, it was crazy encouraging to see, like, just how our church is, like, supports us. There's like 80 or 90 people we've never even seen before. You know, like, hey, we're gonna do stuff for you. Like, we look at ourselves like, who would trust us? Their time, their money. Like, I don't look in the mirror every day. I'm like, I trust that guy. You know, so for Serve Day, it was just amazing. Like, you know, just to clean the floor has been vacant for 4 years, and like there's a lot of junk. The floors were just nasty. The warehouse was a gong show. Like, we had all sorts of demolition going on, and that would obviously take a lot longer for us 3 to do by ourselves. So like, it was awesome just to see people like just sharing in our vision, just sharing like what God has us to do in the community, and man, that was great.
That's great. You know, it's one of those things that what could be. I took my 3-year-old son on Serve Day down there, and we're pulling up floors, and he's all dirty and just loving it. And you just look around, and you go, man, what could be? Bowling alley. What could be? Nursery. After-school care. Study center. And the dreams just kind of kept unfolding. So it's just going to be fun as a church as we watch how this thing unfolds. And for that, you know, sometimes you can hear this sitting here on a Sunday or on video or sitting at campus and something like that. You go, oh, that, I hope that works. It's already proven that it works in a small space. And God has opened up the door for a tremendous space. And I want you guys to know, as well as these guys, we're committed to this thing. It's not something we're trying. It's something we're going to do, and we need your help to do it. And with that, I'd love to ask, what's next steps? I'm sitting here this morning. I'm listening to you guys. I'm laughing. I see the vision. I understand, you know, thrift store concept in general, that you come and you buy cheaper stuff. But what are next steps? How could these people help?
Well, there's 2 to 3 main ways that we can use your help. One is volunteering. Every Thursday night, we're going to have a work night down there from about 5 to 9, where we're just going to get some mops, get some scrubbers, maybe take off some of the wax that's still on the floor, help sort donations to get that ready to be put out on the floor. Just some sheetrocking. We got a couple people who are going to help lead some of these teams. And so every Thursday, you can sign up online in order to sign up and get out there Thursday. Also, anytime during the store's open, we can use your help. So that's Monday to Saturday, 10 to 5. There's always somewhere we can plug you in. So volunteering is huge. Without that, it's not going to be able to work. Yeah, donations is the second thing.
Yeah, so donations is obviously essential in running a thrift store business. Without donations, we can't sell stuff. If we can't sell stuff, we don't make money. If we don't make money, we have this huge building. We just hang out by ourselves. So like, the purpose of our store is to... Our vision is to do economic development in the tower community, and we hope to achieve these goals by job training program. So the way donations helps us the most, it just helps on so many different levels. It helps us like provide jobs for people. Like we need people to sort the clothes, so that's an opportunity to hire people. Donations help us since we make money off this stuff. So like we want to be able to provide like cheap, affordable goods, you know, to people that wouldn't be able to acquire them otherwise. So your guys' donations, we're basically applying simple principles of redistribution. We're taking basically leftover stuff in your guys' garages and making it useful somewhere else. So your guys' donations is really what kind of makes the wheels go around. And yeah, we need that.
Ways to donate are you can bring it straight down to the store anytime that we're open. We have a shed out in the northeast corner of the lot that is picked up from regularly. Or you can call us and schedule a pickup. We'll be over here at the community center just talking with you, letting you know here's the number, here's our location. We'll take your number, give you a call, and maybe we can come pick up. So that's, I mean, all these opportunities are ways to get jobs. So if we have pickups, we can hire people to then get in trucks and go pick it up.
Yeah, I think that's great. I want you guys to consider the world you live in. You know, Andrew talked about your work, your live, and your play, your things like that. Maybe you work for Gottschalks, and they're certainly not going to need racks anymore where they currently are in the city. Maybe you work for a store that has those kind of things. Maybe you have a job skill. Maybe you're a contractor that says, you know what, you need some shelves? Man, I can do those. Or maybe you just think big and think in the world you live in. Say, how can we help this thing? Because we're committed to it. You know, and we're coming behind it. We're going to support these guys. It's something. And again, you hear this and people go, well, aren't there places already doing that? What about Goodwill? And we're not trying to compete with those places. We have a conviction, a vision for an area of town that we've committed to for the long haul until marriage rates change, divorce rates, you know, go down, education results go up. It's safer. All those things we want to see happen. And this is going to be a key part of that. And so we want you to consider your role. These guys are going to be over in the community center. Go talk to them. Schedule a pickup. It'll be really, really interesting. If you have more questions, they'll be there as well. So why don't you guys give these guys a round of applause. You can head over there.